Welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded live and includes readings from the Psalms and the Old and New Testaments and a reflection. Our readings today are taken from Psalm 80, Job 30 and Romans 14 verses 13 to the end. The reflection is by the Reverend Fabian Wirtz entitled, Be Gracious to One Another.
And our psalm this morning is Psalm 80. Hear, O Shepherd of Israel, you that led Joseph like a flock.
Shine forth, you that are enthroned upon the cherubim, before Ephraim, Benjamin, and Manasseh.
Stir up your mighty strength and come to our salvation.
Turn us again, O God, show the light of your countenance, and we shall be saved.
O Lord, God of hosts, how long will you be angry at your people's prayer?
You feed them with the bread of tears. You give them abundance of tears to drink.
You've made us the derision of our neighbours, and our enemies laugh us to scorn.
Turn us again, O God of hosts. Show the light of your countenance, and we shall be saved.
You brought the vine out of Egypt. You drove out the nations and planted it.
You made room around it, and when it had taken root, it filled the land.
The hills were covered with its shadow, and the cedars of God by its board.
It stretched out its branches to the sea, and its tendrils to the river.
Why then have you broken down its wall, so that all who pass by pluck off its grapes?
The wild boar out of the wood tears it off, and all the insects of the field devour it.
And again, O God of hosts, look down from heaven and behold.
Cherish this vine, which your right hand has planted, and the branch that you made so strong for yourself.
Let those who burn it with fire, who cut it down, perish at the rebuke of your countenance.
Let your hand be upon the man at your right hand, the son of man that you made so strong for yourself.
And so we will not go back from you. Give us life, and we shall call upon your name.
Turn us again, O Lord God of hosts. Show the light of your countenance, and we shall be saved.
Faithful shepherd of your people, as we look for the light of your countenance, restore in us the image of your glory, and graft us into the risen life of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen.
Amen. So Job 33.
But now hear my speech, O Job, and hear to all my words. See, I open my mouth, the tongue in my mouth speaks. My words declare the uprightness of my heart, and what my lips know, they speak sincerely. The Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life. Answer me if you can. Set your words in order before me. Take your stand. See, before God, I am as you are. I too was formed from a piece of clay. No fear of me will terrify you. My pressure will not be heavy on you. Surely you have spoken in my hearing, and I have heard the sound of your words. You say, I am clean without transgression. I am pure, and there is no iniquity in me. Look, he finds occasions against me. He counts me as his enemy. He puts my feet in the stocks and watches all my paths. But in this you are not right. I will answer you. God is greater than any mortal. Why do you contend against him, saying, he will answer none of my words? For God speaks in one way and in two, though people do not perceive it. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls on mortals, while they slumber on their beds. Then he opens their ears and terrifies them with warnings that he may turn them aside from their deeds and keep them from pride to spare their souls from the pit, their lives from the traversing the river. They also chasten the pain upon their bed with continual strife in their bones, so that their lives loathe bread and their appetites dainty food. Their flesh is so wasted away that it cannot be seen, and their bones, once invisible, now stick out. Their souls draw near the pit, and their lives to those who bring breath at death. If, sorry, then if there should be for one of them an angel, a mediator, one of a thousand, one who declares a person upright, and he is gracious to that person and says, deliver him from down into the pit. I have found a ransom. Let his flesh become fresh with you. Let him return to the days of his youthful vigour. Then he prays to God and is accepted by him. He comes into his presence with joy, and God repays him for his righteousness. That person sings to others and says, I sinned and perverted what was right. It was not paid back to me. He has redeemed my soul from going down to the pit, and my life shall see the light. God indeed does all these things twice, three times with mortals to bring them back, to bring back their souls from the pit so that they may see the light of life. Pay heed, Job. Listen to me. Be silent and I will speak. If you have anything to say, answer me. Speak, for I desire to justify you. If not, listen to me. Be silent and I will teach you wisdom. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. That we are getting close to the end of our epistle to the Romans. So Paul's epistle writing to a church in Rome, most probably a house church, so little groups meeting in various houses across the city of Rome. So let us therefore no longer pass judgment on one another, but resolve instead never to put a stumbling block or hindrance in the way of another. I know and I'm persuaded in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean in itself, but it is unclean for anyone who thinks it is unclean. If your brother or sister is being injured by what you eat, you are no longer walking in love. Do not let what you eat cause the ruin of one for whom Christ died. So do not let your good be spoken as evil. For the kingdom of God is not food and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. One who thus serves Christ is acceptable to God and has human approval. Let us then pursue what makes for peace and mutual edification. Do not, for the sake of food, destroy the work of God. Everything is indeed clean, but it is wrong for you to make other fall by what you eat. It is good not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything that makes your brother or sister stumble. The faith that you have as your own conviction before God. Blessed are those who have no reason to condemn themselves because of what they approve. But those who have doubts are condemned if they eat, because they do not act from faith. Whatever does not proceed from faith is sin. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Coming to the end of this epistle, the first kind of 11 chapter are about the, we could say, the theology, the more theoretical, it's not theoretical, but the theology, the understanding of who Jesus is, what he has done through his death and resurrection, and how do we accept the gift and the place of faith in being declared by God as a person standing right, not because of what he has done to earn that, because he recognized the grace of God provided in Jesus. But then from chapter 12 to the end, it's more about practical life in the church. How then do we live out that faith that we have, the grace we have received, and what does it mean to be gracious with one another? And so at the time, there were some realities that was quite difficult for some. If you were a Jew who became a Christian, who recognized Jesus as the one you were waiting for, the Messiah, then the law became obsolete, in the sense the law wasn't necessary anymore. Not that you just don't live according to the moral principles, but other things like ceremonial and the food laws didn't make any difference for your right standing with God. That was now based on what Jesus had done and the cross. But of course, if you had grew up as a Jew and all your life you didn't eat pork, because that was part of your culture, today still the same for Jews, and for the Muslims is halal food. That's all that you did. It's big ask to start doing differently. And so some Christians, because of their conscience, felt that it was still important not to eat certain food, or still important to follow certain festivals, because it was part of their history and culture, maybe, and remind them, for some of them, of the greatness of God. And some others felt that was not as important anymore. Christ had come, and a new day, a new way of life had come. So how do you live together with that? Well, Paul says that if you are the one who understand the liberty and all the freedom that Christ has given us from certain parts of the law, from the food regulations and the kind of the festival regulations and all kind of regulations that were very practical, your faith is maybe a bit stronger. And he would speaks about you who are strong, don't become a stumbling block. Don't ask those who are not there yet to be where you are. Go to where they are. And that's a sign of love. That's a sign of you being patient and being understanding and not being proud. So that's what he speaks here. Some thought that they could eat anything, but if they did that with some brothers or sisters who had a conscience that wasn't there, and they should abstain from eating certain food in their presence, and so that they would not injure their conscience. So today I think we have similar things in our church. We have kind of many things that I would say are secondary. They're not primary to our faith. One of the way I think St. James has shown love is by moving our communion wine into non-alcoholic wine. No, for some, they find it difficult. They feel that unless it's alcohol, it's not real. But of course, we know that when we share, it's not the element in itself. It's the presence and the faith and what we do when we take communion. We remind ourselves that that those elements speaks of Christ's death. His body given to us and his blood poured out so that we can live. But we decided to move into non-alcoholic so that those who would maybe feel very conscious because they come from backgrounds where they shouldn't take any alcohol because that had been a problem in the past. Out of love, we decided to only have non-alcoholic so they wouldn't feel kind of standing out, because they would ask something that has no alcohol in it, and people might then think, oh, what kind of background did have that person? That's a way of loving one another. But it could be with how we feel about certain movies, going to movies. Some people kind of, I don't enjoy, but I know that my daughter enjoys horror movies. I think she knows there are some limits. But even for me, kind of the mind, I think, well, it's really about horrible violence and things like that. I'm not sure. But I think those are secondary, maybe close. Some people have issues with, how short our skirt should be in the church, or that has been long. You know, some churches were very strong, saying you can't come to the church until your whatever you wear is under the knee. I know, I remember those days. And so we can have so many human rules, and that actually not helping. Of course, we want decency, and there are principles that we don't want to be a stumbling block again. And maybe we are of a stance that, we feel having certain freedom, but we might decide to wear more clothes that are more helpful for others. So there are many ways in our own culture, and we need to be mindful of where our brothers and sisters are in the faith. And it's for not for us to impose if we have grown in our freedom. It's for us to come down and to be humble. I know that in America, very much it's about drinking alcohol or not. And so in some churches, they decided to, as a way of discipleship, not to drink alcohol as Christians. That's one way also, or at least not to have alcohol within church facilities, or if they are in a meeting in a group and they know that some people have strong views about that, and they would abstain from drinking alcohol when they are together. So many ways to apply that. And the key is to seek to build up one another. That's what we talked on Sunday. Everything we do is to build one another up in our faith and to grow in our maturity. So that's my thought about this passage. There is also Job, quite interesting. And of course, the Psalm. I like the Psalm too. So there must something might have spoken to you, Lynn, in some of the other readings, or maybe comments too.
Well, just going on to the Romans, I just wrote down respect differences.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and listen to another person's opinion. You haven't got to agree with it, but you know, we don't listen, do we?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm not a very good listener. I usually have made my mind up, and it takes something to to change it. But the other word I wrote down was be gracious to one another, and it all comes back to that, isn't it, really?
Mm-hmm.
Now tell me, with Job, was that one of his friends giving him advice?
Yeah, that's one of his friends.
Friends
who again kind of says, you know, you can't say that nothing is wrong with your life. The problem is that Job didn't say that he was, you know, without sin. He says that he didn't deserve that kind of punishment because, that he was innocent of deserving.
And he couldn't understand, could he?
No.
It's, I was going to say it's a complex book, but it's sort of a book you need to read from beginning to end, isn't it, really? Because it's got a bit of a complicated story, but a good message, a very good message. Certainly I've taken a lot from it.
Yeah, and with Psalms, I like that, the kind of the refrain that's got to turn us again, or to show the light of his countenance, mm-hmm. so that we shall be saved.
Yes.
And of course, I think in Job, one of interesting is that it speaks about people health or going down, and the reality of, you know, disobedience and missing the goal of God's desire for our lives. But then someone coming down as an intercessor or as a mediator. And of course, that's the whole point of Jesus, who came down to be that mediator and to bring us forgiveness. I can't remember where it is. It says something, there we go, for a ransom. So there should be an angel mediator, one of a thousand, one who declare a person upright and is gracious to that person and says, deliver him from going down into the pit. I have found a ransom. And that's who Jesus is for us, our ransom.
Mm.
So this is the message we need to live out in our churches and to live out in our community.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website, www.stjamestaunton.co.uk, and click on resources. Thank you for listening. and may God be with you today.